The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org. So welcome, everyone, to Happy Hour. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Diana Clark. And Nikki Mirgafori and I kind of alternate on teaching here on Happy Hour, Wednesday evenings. So there's probably isn't anybody in this room or anybody who's going to listen to this podcast who thinks it's a good idea to be unkind. Nobody's going to promote this idea of being unkind. Maybe I shouldn't say that. But there can be a subtle type of unkindness that we do to ourselves. And that is this way that we kind of wall ourselves off emotionally, a little bit disconnected from our inner life. And it gets manifested as a way of being nice. We're just being nice, which is a way kind of like being on the surface of things. I'm going to talk a little bit more about this. So what's the difference between niceness and kindness? All of us, sometimes when there's pain, when there's difficulties, when just our regular life is happening, we may have a strategy of wanting to kind of protect ourselves. I mean, who can blame us? We've been wounded. We may feel tender. We may feel like we need to do some healing. But this this walling ourselves off, this idea of self-protection, can lead us to be a little bit disconnected from what's really happening with us, from our unwillingness to speak directly to others, or even kind of like notice directly for ourselves. So the difference between being nice and being kind is related to this motivation and intent in terms of whether we're connected to what's happening in our inner life. So niceness sometimes appears on the surface as a response to suffering, but it has more shallow roots. It's more motivated by, I just want to avoid conflict, or I want to look good, everybody's going to expect me to say and or do something. Or maybe it's niceness has more of a focus of trying to make ourselves feel better. Just trying to make ourselves feel less uncomfortable. Whereas kindness, in contrast, is this idea that it's not just about making ourselves feel better, but it's about being warm, being accepting, and being direct and clear with ourselves about what's really happening. And if it's appropriate to be direct and clear in our communication with others, let me clarify that it's always appropriate to be direct and clear, but that doesn't mean that we have to say, you know, that dress really makes you look fat. Right? Right speech, being kind, it's about keeping in mind, is what you're about to say, is it helpful? Is it timely? Is it the right time to say this? Of course, is it true? And is it so kind, beneficial, timely, and true? So kindness keeps in mind this wanting to be completely authentic and not to be on the surface, but at the same time not be hurtful, not to say things like, "Well, it's true." And this is what I'm really feeling, and this is kind of authentically, whatever thought we might have. But niceness can sometimes be like the near enemy of kindness. And this expression, near enemy, is kind of like in the Buddhist parlance, is something that looks like kindness on the surface, looks like it, but it really isn't. So again, this kind of gets back to this motivation. Is it about really wanting to just make ourselves feel better so we're just saying kind of the nicety things to just avoid any conflict, avoid any difficulties? Or are we really showing up and with some openness and some warmth and allowing ourselves to feel some of the difficulties? Life is filled with difficulties. So this is part of where loving kindness practice can help. It can help in a number of ways. One, to increase our capacity to be with being uncomfortable, so that we can be warm, we can treat others with respect, even though we are feeling uncomfortable. That we can just be silent instead of saying things just to be nice, perhaps. And I don't want to be misunderstood. I'm not saying that we shouldn't do social niceties, we shouldn't say hello and small talk and talk about the weather when it's appropriate. These things are helpful. They're kind of like help the our communities. But I know that I've done this sometimes in gatherings, large gatherings, where there's this time for people to just chit-chat. I start saying things just to say things, and then I feel like completely disconnected from myself, and I'm like saying stuff. I'm not saying anything bad, there's nothing wrong with it, but it just doesn't feel nourishing, either for myself or for the people who are I'm speaking with and hearing what I'm saying. So loving kindness practice can help us increase our capacity to be with some of the difficulties. And some of the ways it can do that is to help us build a reservoir, build a stockpile. I don't know if that's the right word. Something that we can dip into to support us of some well-wishing for ourselves. Holding ourselves dear. And where maybe there's this little voice that says something like, yes, sweetheart, this is hard. It's okay. It's a way that we could treat ourselves with some real warmth, some real care, in a way that nurtures us and nourishes us, which then allows us to show up in the world that we can nurture and nourish others. Sometimes if we feel like we're struggling or having lots of difficulty, and sometimes this happens, we don't have access to some reservoir of warmth and care. But loving kindness practice can help us cultivate that. It can help us be very consistent in this open-heartedness instead of just this wish to make ourselves feel less uncomfortable. Again, I don't want to demonize wanting to make ourselves feel less uncomfortable. Sometimes that's all that we have access to. But this practice is to help us increase our capacity. And also sometimes kindness may be bold in its appearance. It may be soft and gentle and bold. Bold in saying, no, thank you, when we need to say no, thank you. Bold in saying, talking about the elephant in the room, when there is an elephant in the room, to say it in a warm, kind-hearted, timely, beneficial way. It could also be about the way that we speak to ourselves. I know that sometimes I'm like, when there's difficulties, I don't want to look at them or address them, so I'm trying to ignore them. That doesn't work. I think all of us know it doesn't work, especially if you have a meditation practice. These things just will bubble up, right? Sometimes kindness demands some strength and demands some courage to look at those things we don't want to look at, to say those things either to ourselves or to others we don't want to say. Unlike niceness, which sometimes is just, you know, doing what's nice on the surface, it's so important for us to be kind to ourselves. Help us be kind to others. To care for ourselves. Respect ourselves. Have goodwill for ourselves, even when we make mistakes, even when we do things that turn out to be harmful. So the loving kindness practice that we're going to do is, for those of you who've been here before, familiar with this, has the three elements to it. The first element is to bring to mind an individual, or I'll say this, an individual for whom you want to cultivate loving kindness, that you'll use to help cultivate loving kindness, warmth, care, goodwill. And so this, we usually start with, we use this expression benefactor, somebody for whom it's easy to feel warmth, care, love, respect, goodwill, loving kindness. Often this is somebody for whom, with whom we have an uncomplicated relationship. Maybe somebody we don't actually know, may not have a personal relationship with. Maybe a spiritual leader. Maybe somebody, a historical figure. And we start there with this idea that we don't have to jump in where it's the most difficult. It's one way of being kind to ourselves is we start where it's easy. And then we allow that to grow and to blossom and to support us. And then we can move into those areas where maybe it's not quite so easy. So if there isn't an individual or somebody, an easily lovable being that comes to mind, you're welcome to use any lovable being, including kittens, puppies, and babies. I always smile when I say this because I'm just thinking of, I was thinking of some kittens that just make me happy, right? So it's kind of easy to kind of like warm the heart there. So the first element is to bring to mind a lovable being. The second element is to kind of use what's happening in your body as a support. So you can check in, see if there's a softness, an opening, a warmth. Maybe there's a sense of well-being. This may not be your dominant experience. It may just be a little quiet place. Maybe the belly relaxed. Maybe there's some openness in the chest. Whatever it might be, use the sensations in the body as a support. And then the third element is we repeat phrases just to help the mind keep on coming back to this intention to cultivate loving kindness. So we'll start with a benefactor or a lovable being, and then we'll move on to loving kindness for ourselves, which for many people is not as easy as for somebody else. So with that as an introduction, let's take an upright, alert posture, and we'll start with three long, slow, deep breaths, just as a way to connect with the body. And perhaps with the exhale, there can be a softening, a letting go. And then we'll allow the breath to return to normal, trusting that the breath knows how to breathe itself. And to support a sense of ease, support a sense of relaxation, it can be helpful to just check in, just to place the attention on different areas of the body where we often hold tension. We're not trying to force the tension to go away. We're not trying to make anything in particular happen. We're just very gently, just checking in. What does it feel like behind the eyes, around the eyes? Can we do this in a kind way? Respect for ourselves? Of course we have tension. Around the jaw, perhaps. Around the neck. It can be helpful to just tuck the chin just a tiny, tiny bit and open up the back of the neck. The shoulders. Allowing the shoulder blades to move down the back. the right arm and the right hand, the left arm and the left hand. Put the hands in any posture that feels comfortable and supportive. You can check in with the upper back and the lower back, the chest and the belly. It's so common to hold tension in our belly. It's okay, it's okay. See if we can let it relax. If we can't, that's okay too. You can feel the pressure of the chair or the cushion against your body. Feel supported. Allowing yourself to be grounded here and now. The right upper leg, the right lower leg, the left upper leg and the left lower leg, and the feet. Now we'll do just a small amount of mindfulness of breathing, just to help us get stabilized. So in a kind, gentle way, without pouncing or grabbing, we just gently place our attention on the sensations of breathing. So that is the movement of the abdomen, the movement of the chest, or the feeling of the air going in and out of the nose. Whichever movement is the most accessible for you, whichever one feels the most supportive right now. And just notice the rhythm, the movement. It wouldn't be surprising if the mind got busy and lost in thought. Most likely you've been thinking all day. Just very gently, simply bring your awareness back to the sensations of breathing. If you find yourself lost in thought, just very gently begin again. So this practice of mindfulness of breathing, just simply resting the awareness on the sensations of breathing, can be a resource, can be a practice you can come back to if you ever feel overwhelmed, lost, confused, not sure what to do, bored, want to do something different. You can always come back to this practice. And then to start loving kindness practice, bring to mind a lovable being. This may be with an image you see in the mind. Or maybe it's a felt sense of having that person nearby. Might want to check in with the body. Maybe there's already a like an inner smile, some warmth, some opening. Maybe not. There's no requirement. It's perfectly fine, whatever it is. And then keeping this individual in mind, you can repeat in your mind silently after me these phrases. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. You're welcome to change these phrases to words that perhaps resonate more, feel more heartfelt for you. You can check in with the body and see if there is a feeling of well-being or warmth, openness, spaciousness. And if so, allowing that to get as big as it would like to get. We're not forcing, we're not making it. We're just noticing and allowing. If you'd like, you can repeat the phrases to yourself, or maybe you could see, what does it feel like just to radiate loving-kindness? Or is this person, in whatever way that makes sense to you, without the phrases, maybe it's just in some way sending goodwill, love, care, warmth. Maybe you're simply radiating loving kindness and then you find yourself drifting. And then you could just maybe say the phrases again or come back to sensations in the body. See what feels supportive, what feels natural. Perhaps it's helpful to bring to mind again the benefactor or lovable being. Perhaps there's a idea, a notion of kindness just emanating. Warm-heartedness. So we can have an attitude of playfulness with this practice, maybe experiment. Doesn't have to be done in such a way, very prescribed, precise manner. We're just cultivating a sense of warm-heartedness, kindness. Love, care. Perhaps repeating the phrases is very helpful and supportive. Perhaps focusing on bodily sensations or that are associated with well-being, warmth, care. Maybe that's supportive. Maybe using our imagination to imagine the benefactor receiving kindness, warmth, care. Maybe that's supportive. And then to build on this foundation that we've developed with loving kindness for a benefactor or the lovable being, can expand it to include loving kindness for ourselves. Of course we deserve loving kindness. So we can start in a similar way, bring into mind a sense of ourselves that might be with a visual image, a mental image. It might be with a felt sense. What does it feel like here and now, sitting here? Some people find it helpful to imagine, remember, visualize themselves when they were young, children. Whatever way feels accessible. You can use any feeling of spaciousness or warmth in the heart center, in the belly, to support this cultivation of loving kindness. No guarantees that you'll feel anything in particular. It's perfectly fine if you don't. Then I'll start us off with some phrases. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. again, to support the cultivation of loving kindness for oneself, holding oneself dear. You can imagine this warmth, this emanation of care that includes ourselves. Maybe say the phrases. Maybe use your imagination in a way that makes sense for you. Wishing ourselves safety, happiness, health, and ease. Now let's see if we can expand this well-wishing to include all beings. May all beings be free from suffering. This might, maybe you have a sense of a sphere or a bubble of loving kindness getting bigger and bigger. Maybe being limitless, boundless, the loving kindness. May all beings be safe. May all beings be happy. May all beings be healthy. May all beings live with ease. May all beings be safe. May all beings be happy. May all beings be healthy. May all beings live with ease. May all beings be safe. May all beings be happy. May all beings be healthy. May all beings live with ease. And then to end this meditation, feel the pressure of the chair or the cushion against your body. Feel your feet on the ground. And when you're ready, you can gently open your eyes. So one way of being kind to ourselves is to cultivate loving kindness towards ourselves and towards others. Kind of support this a wellspring of goodness that we can draw from when we're having some difficulties. Or even when we're not having difficulties, when we encounter somebody getting the job they wanted or a family member receiving really good news, that we can feel joy and happiness and celebrate with them wholeheartedly. We can support them in whatever's arising. So maybe now that we'll take a few minutes to talk together about how was that for you? How was that experience of doing this meditation? You don't have to say your deepest, darkest secrets. Just an opportunity to kind of create a little bit of a sense of community. We'll just talk for a few moments. So there doesn't have to be crosstalk. So in the sense that this isn't a place to give advice to each other. It's more a way for us to kind of like process out loud, like, wow, that was difficult. I could do it for the benefactor, but I found it a little more difficult for myself. Or perhaps there was, you had some insight that visualizing or emanating turned out to be easier than working with phrases, or you could share something like this. We'll just meet for a few minutes. So why don't we get into three groups of three and one group of two. When you can, one person maybe speaks for just a minute or two, and then the next person, and then the third person. And then we'll come back here to the bigger circle. You can just self-assemble. Ethan, do you want to join? Yeah, do you guys, so are you guys, or, okay. So in these last minutes, I'd love to hear from you. How was that? Either how was the meditation, this idea of difference between kindness and niceness? How was the small group? Do you have questions, comments, things you'd like to share? I shouldn't have rang the bell. You guys were heavily talking before, and I rang the bell, and everybody's quiet. Right, and we can send a microphone back. Oh.
Thank you. When you were talking about the difference between nice and kindness, I had a real aha.
Can you move the microphone just a little bit? Thank you.
Aha moment. And hadn't really been conscious of that distinction or the fact that I was using niceness as a barrier or a way of disconnecting. And so for me, it made me think, oh, there's quite a bit of work to be done there. to move more into the kindness and be less surface oriented as a way to mask my inner emotional life towards others. So that was really a beautiful introduction. I got a lot out of it.
And I'm hoping you can have some care and some compassion for yourself too, as we start to see how common this is, right? To use niceness like, oh, yeah, I've been saying nice things, doing nice things just because I want to escape or something like this. Mm-hmm. And we don't have to make giant changes. Just noticing itself can make a change, and then to take care of or be kind to ourselves like, oh, of course I'm doing this. Everybody wants to. I shouldn't say everybody wants to. I should say it's not easy to be with our difficult emotions. If it were easy, you would have done it already.
Mm-hmm. And I think that there's a phrase that people say to each other, you know, like, be kind to yourself. And it doesn't really have much meaning to me. You know, like, oh, does that mean I should have a hot bath or make myself a cup of tea? But at least in this way I can think, oh, okay, it actually means delving a little bit deeper into myself, teasing out a little bit more about what I'm feeling, and then figuring out a way to be more honest about that on the outside.
And hopefully in a kind of like a field of warmth and care and respect, instead of like, dang it, I need to figure this out, and why did I do that? And, you know, like sometimes we can use this as weapons against ourselves, you know, to be even more critical, and we're just kind of perpetuating that sense. But the kindness may be like, I don't know, just to hold ourselves dear while we're looking at what's happening. Thank you. Somebody else have a comment?
Thank you, Diana.
You're welcome.
I want to share my experience and then I have a question. So I've found that when I'm using my imagination and used to kind of play with it, I've been experimenting with that. So I chose a ladybug as my benefactor because one landed on my hand the other day and it kind of stopped me in my tracks. So, and then I imagined like myself as like a blooming lotus flower, and then the ladybug landed on the flower. So I was like, this is pretty cool. And then just like the radiating, you know, gave me like a good warm feeling inside. So that was like my experience today. My question is, like, I find like when I'm having like difficulty with people in my life, I'm like, okay, I need to sit down and practice loving kindness, and that I just go straight into, you know, wishing loving kindness for the other people. And I'm wondering what your thoughts are on going in order rather than just going like skipping to wishing them, you know, the loving kindness to help myself deal with them. So I wonder what your thoughts are on that.
So when you say in order, like when I'm sitting up here, I'm saying benefactor and then self.
Yeah, like benefactor, and myself, yeah, neutral person, then difficult person I'm having a difficult time with.
So the classical teachings are to start where it's easiest, gain some facility, mastery. The classical teachings will use this expression, like mastery, just to make it easier to move on to the next category. So if there isn't, that's the premise that underlies that. So if you feel like you can go right into wishing loving kindness for any particular person, you're welcome to do that. But sometimes it's not easy, especially if we're having difficulties with somebody. It's hard to just wish them loving kindness. So something that can be really effective is to just wish loving kindness for whomever it's easiest. You're having difficulties with person A, but you love and respect and have care for person X, you can do loving kindness for person X. But we're just kind of cultivating this sense of warmth and care and respect in our hearts and in our minds. And even though we may be using this other person, then just the milieu, the ecosystem in our hearts and minds shift. And then our relationship or the way that we understand or think about the original difficult person can be different. So I don't think it matters going in a particular order. Mm-hmm. I think what matters is that we're able to kind of feel like we're cultivating and developing and this sense of warmth and care, openness. I think that's the objective there. Does that make sense?
Yes, thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, so it's 7 o'clock, and I want to respect everyone's time. If you have a question or comment, you're welcome to come up afterwards and ask me or tell me. And I wish all of you, may you understand the difference of kindness and niceness, and may you use both of them in a way that supports your life and helps you have a kind of a rich, deep, meaningful life. Thank you.